Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis, chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, reading through verse 9. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, when they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them.' But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Noah was just a man, perfect in generations. Noah walked with God.
I'd like to express my appreciation for the presence of each and every one of you. Certainly it's a wonderful assembly together to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. We have visitors in the audience, and we want you to know that you're our honored guests. I'm going to be looking at this. Already noted, to walk with God, and the idea of to walk with God. Of course, the imagery that we have, the thoughts that we want to share as it relates to this concept, to walk with God. And we want to look at it from the standpoint of what is the... To evaluate saying we walk with God, what does that mean? Certainly, it's an expression that's found in the... It's found in a number of our hymns, and we noted that when we sang several songs that sort of underscored... But it's an imperative thing for us to first consider, what does that mean to walk with God? I want to start by putting an image up here. It's very tranquil, isn't it? Very pleasant. See this strolling down through a path. The woods are around. It's kind of a fall-like setting. Enjoying one another's company. It's already very tranquil. And something we of us don't enjoy those kinds of opportunities and experiencing nature in this way and getting that sense of we have with somebody else as we're able to be companions with them, accompany them. And so it is that we start this God by sort of looking at this scene for our consideration. Not just a casual stroll. When we talk about walk with God, it's not just a casual few moments down a particular lane, path. The nature around us, experiencing the beauty of the world and enjoying each other's company. What a long journey when we talk about walk with God. Now, let's examine that a little bit more. Deep sense, more full context. Intimate relationship. When we talk about a walk with God, we're talking about it. Have amongst us various ones that fit in our acquaintances. We have individual and somebody we may recognize, somebody that we may encounter, someone we may wave to. If we have any momentary type things, we see that in our neighborhoods. We see that maybe at work, a larger company where you have certain people, them, but you really don't have any interaction with them. We have other people that we're a little closer to. We may have more interaction with them. We may have involved with various aspects associated with their life, but there's not a friendship per se. It's just that we have and things that we engage in to a certain extent. And then you continue down this path and looking at these various ones that fit. And then you get to those that we have intimate relationship with, those that we're very close to, that we have association with on a regular basis, connected to. Certainly things having to do with physical family, for example. Those individuals that may be very friends that we encounter. And that type of situation. Well, when we walk with God, We're not talking about encounters. We're talking about an intimate relationship. And that's illustrated by looking at a number of characters in the that are referred to as those that walked with God. We find the first one over in Genesis chapter 5. And there you have Enoch. In verse 24, Enoch was not, for God took him. We already see that statement is referred to, that he walked with God. And they're associated with this and the idea that he was not, he's translated, that he didn't face physical death. But we don't know a lot about Enoch. But what we know is very impressive. We don't know a lot about his personal history, the things going on in his life. It just simply states God, and that's sufficient to tell us something very important about his life and the relationship he had with God. We just had the scripture reading relates to Noah. And here was Noah, and we certainly recognize the condition of the world round about during the days of Noah, reprehensible conduct that was permeated the society as a whole. But yet, here was Noah, and he stood out, separate him. He is described then as a righteous man. He found grace in the eyes of God. And in verse 9, talking about the genealogy of Noah, this just man, perfect in his generations, Noah walked with God. And then, now with Noah, unlike Enoch, who we don't have a lot about the events of his life, Noah we delve into about what that constitutes as it relates to his walking with God. You go then to the 17th chapter, verse 1, the encounter with Abraham and God, and talking to Abraham, Abram to start with, his name's changed. It says, walk before me. The Lord said, walk before me. This idea of the walking there is seen again, illustrative of the type of life. These are found in Hebrews chapter 11 among these heroes of faith. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, listen to them about their relationship, their association, the nature of that, the intimacy connected to their toward God. So these are demonstrating the idea of what constitutes a walk with God, what's going to require. I want to turn over also to Micah. In this particular context, it's not a specific individual here, but a general reference that's noted. And it would involve everyone who wants to fall in these types of categories into this area of a walk with God. And so what you see there in verse 8 of the 6th chapter, where he has shown to you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to walk humbly with your God. He's contrasted this with a number of other aspects associated with life, and the idea of sacrifices, and the multiple types of things or sacrifices that may be made. And certainly that was needful, but it wasn't to the neglect of this basic underlying point, and it has to do with one's relationship to him, and to walk humbly with the Lord, to walk humbly. And so here you now have this idea. So here we start seeing, this is a lifelong journey. It was for Enoch, it was for Abraham, and all those others that would fall into that same category. And for all individuals to walk humbly. Let me know something else then about this. There's a desire to be together. Body, and you're going to do so, and this idea, we want to be with them, their company. We want to share their company. We want to have interaction. So that's demonstrable by this idea to walk. It's a journey. You're going along, and here you are with somebody else. So that we have are two people, and you can kind of see the relationship that's associated with that. Of course, representative of the concept of God and walking with God, don't we? If we're going to walk with God, this is the idea of wanting to be in His very presence, to be associated with Him. The desire to be together is something that would be paramount to us. And if you look then, in kind of as a contrast, the demonstration of different attitudes, you have in John chapter 6, the occasion when the Lord is teaching those individuals that have been following Him. They want to be close to the Lord, seemingly, Jesus. And when they come to Him on that occasion, in the latter part of the 6th chapter, discourse that the Lord does in describing how He's the bread of life. And it's preceded by the fact that He loaves and fishes. And then now as they pursue Him, He tells them, you're following me for the wrong reason. You want what I can physically give you, and I've got the instruction that you need to have in your life. Now, after He goes through the discourse, we see the reaction to those ones who were present, who followed after Him. Seemingly, long journeys in order to be with Him, to accompany Him. In verse 66, from that time, many of His disciples went no more. They said, this is a hard saying. It's too difficult for us. So they then no longer wanted to have that association. Walked with Him no more. Now, I understand that expression. You have the idea of a physical connection there, and you can walk with them, and they accompany them in a physical way because Jesus walked upon the earth. He was here upon the earth, robed in the flesh, God in the flesh. So you have this idea of the physical connection and walking with Him. But it takes on a greater stand to walk with Him, meant to be in His presence, to be with Him, to hear His teaching, to be associated with him in this way. That was really the idea and the context. They no longer wanted to be associated with him. And then you find seeing disposition. And then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That intimate relationship. Here's this disposition. It's contrasted between those that were with him for what they thought they could get out of it, physical standpoint, versus those that understood who he was and they wanted that association with him because of who he was. The nature of God, the being of God, all the things associated with God, and our closeness to him because of who he is. And be in his very presence. We desire to be with him. James, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What a beautiful picture that is. Draw near to him. Come to him. He's going to draw to you. That relationship, that closeness, he wants to walk with us. But we have to want to desire to be with him. Draw near to the Lord, to you. Psalm 122 and verse 1. We use this just to kind of get a sense of what we should have in relationship to worshiping him and desiring to be in his worship like we're engaged in now. I was glad when they said, let us come into the house of the Lord. The psalmist stated that. The opportunity in association with, to be involved with, to be together with. Now we're together with each other as we worship the Lord. Very presence. All of this is a mindset, a disposition, a desiring to be with the Lord. If we don't desire to be with, if we're not desirous of being associated with him, this idea of walking in our path of life and as we go through life and having one companion and this involvement, it's going to be demonstrable by how we conduct ourselves. Do I really desire, or is he just somewhat of a casual acquaintance? You know, some talk about being Christian, but they treat the Lord as a casual, as a nod or things. They may have a little bit more friendliness attached to it, so there may be a little bit more connection that they have. But as far as this idea of ongoing, continuing, and intimate relationship, being together with him, is missing in one's life. It wasn't so with Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and all the other faithfuls, individuals. That meant to them is to be with the Lord, to be with him in this way, to have that connection and the value of it. There's one other point that I want to make as it relates to this kind of, again, picturesque, beautiful setting, tranquil environment, going down through a stroll, a lengthy stroll, to the journey. And so it's kind of something that gives us a sense of comfort, does it not? So as you look at this, about these things, that our relationship with God, desiring to be with him, that's a very pleasing thought. It should be. We account talking with each other. You know, people going down, just their very presence. Sometimes we just enjoy being together in various ways, but then you begin to enjoy the communication, the interaction that you find in this. So you think about a couple, as they go along, and they're together, they're anxious to be together, they're looking forward to opportunity to be together, and they're going along and seeing that around about them. Then they begin to talk about things that are important to them. They begin to share thoughts and ideas. So this is a natural, normal aspect of those who have this kind of relationship that we think about. And here, when we consider the idea of our walk with God, to walk with the Lord, a number of passages that indicate, and we certainly recognize immediately the idea of communicating and the nature. The Lord communicates us through his word. Certainly now that we know that there was time, it's more indirect, certainly because the Holy Spirit revealed the mind of God. But we have his word to direct us, to guide us. 19, which is an entire psalm devoted to the proposition of the importance of the Word of God in our lives. And to recognize it and be about the task of doing his will. And there's a number, it's worth reading the entire, it's very lengthy, and I would encourage you to do so in your private studies, to look at all the different aspects associated with his word and what it means, the value of his teaching and instruction. But I want to just highlight one verse as it kind of gives us a sense of the idea of walking, communicating to us and expressing things to us. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So here we go, journey. Well, here's what the word does. It's going to be that which illuminates. And it's going to then see where we're going and how to then be able to walk in a way which is safe. That momentarily. But just get the imagery. What is his word? It's a lamp It's a light for our feet, for the path to illuminate. So we need to be appreciative of His Word. He's going to teach and instruct us. He's going to communicate through His Word. And we communicate to the Lord through prayer. Many verses of Scripture that talk about praying, the need to pray without ceasing, ever constantly in prayer, to approach our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ today, our Lord, and what He's, all the thanksgiving, the petitions associated with the supplications, various terms that are no word how we approach Him humbly, respectfully, and how we appeal to Him, and what things we ask of, we desire from a standpoint of our relationship with Him, or expressed in our in prayer as we approach Him. In verse of Scripture, again, just to kind of underscore the idea of prayer, the beauty of prayer, the value of Philippians 4, and there in verses 6 and 7. It starts, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God, that tranquility that's associated with this. Contentment that's involved with it. I have then, here we are communicating. He communicates to us. We're able to approach Him as our Heavenly Father in prayer. What a wonderful blessing that is. This privilege that's been given to us to pray to Him. And so now you have this imagery of your life. It's a beautiful, wonderful walk depicted here in this way. These various ideas that relate to this type of relationship. And let me say, all that's true. Every bit of it I affirm. In fact, we could look at other verses of Scriptures to reinforce the idea. But there's something more to this kind of pleasantry that's noted. There's something additionally that it means to God. A little different picture. That path is a little different, isn't it, than the one that we were just looking at, where you're going through there in the fall light condition, road that you can easily see, and you're going along with somebody, and all these. Now, suddenly, you're looking at a path, and danger lurks. You start seeing things and disturbing, and there's a great deal of concern that ought to be associated with this. And now we begin to understand that this path in life isn't just going to be the pleasantries. It's not going to just be instances where everything's going smoothly. But we realize that there's a great deal more associated with that because of life and the unevenness of it and the nature of our lives and circumstances that we can be confronted with. And that is also an aspect of God. Because now we start looking at God and things inherently involved in what life, we need to also recognize, and this will help us appreciate the idea of walk with God and the value of God is more than our traveling companion. More than just we kind of look at from periodically or talk to, or certainly all those things are important. They're all an aspect of it, but there's more to the story. And as we start looking at this, the need to walk with God, be with God, then is underscored by evaluating and examining these points. He's our guide. No, it's not within man who walks to direct his own footsteps. It's not within man's determinations. We'll get lost and we go down paths that we don't know about, where we don't have a sense of direction. It's involved all these kinds of things. So Jeremiah 10:23, a very familiar passage to us, kind of lays down that point. It establishes not within man to direct his own paths, his own footsteps, to direct his own paths, to go and be able to do this. So what? You know, there's some places that people travel, and they're long extended trips, and they're not very familiar, and it can be very hard and difficult because of these various types of paths. And you need a guide. They're going to travel with you. They're your traveling companion, but they're more than that. They're the one you look to make sure that you don't get lost in some wilderness place, in some mountainous terrain, that these people have a familiarity. Attach yourself to that individual that knows where they're going. Back, McCoy, Sherman's mother, when she passed away, the funeral was in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And there, and at the time, and when I was going to go for the day of the funeral, I had a GPS. And I put the information in the GPS as to where we were going to get to in order to for the funeral. The connection was having a little bit of problem. It's trying to find the signal. And finally it does, and so that I'm heading out to go, which I had a general understanding of the location, but not the specifics. And so the GPS direction that I thought, this doesn't seem quite right. But I'm going to follow it for a while, and then it turns me and in that vicinity. So I'm thinking, okay, well, this is kind of roads, and maybe this is a roundabout way to get to it, a more direct way. Then it turns me down a dirt road. I'm going down this dirt road, and I'm getting real suspicious by this time because there's not just one way. And about the time that I see the sign, dead end, the GPS turned your own way. Now, I knew where I didn't want to be. I had a general idea of where I wanted to go, but I didn't know the specifics. The first thing I did, with logical sense, if I'm going to find my own way, so I'm turning around and getting out of there. So I start heading out, and I start going in the general direction, know the basic area, and I get on my cell phone. Well, aren't cell phones wonderful? I call up Sherman. The GPS sent me the wrong way. Where do I go? How do I get there? And Sherman told me. Was, because I kind of described it, and he told me where I needed to get to. Find your own way is not going to work, is it, if you don't know where you're going? You may know where you're at. In fact, I was very fortunate in one sense that I that made me very aware of the fact that this GPS, I could have wandered around for a long time because the GPS taking me in various locations. And I immediately turned to somebody who could help me. It's not within man to direct his own steps, but our paths. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's what 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says. We walk by faith. You know, he's heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch and Noah and Abraham walked not by sight. It wasn't something they could see or observe or to know. It's what God said. And because they had faith and were convinced that this was the right direction to go, as they walked with God, they were with God, God accompanying them, them accompanying God. God guided them. And that's the idea for us. We need that guide, and that's what the Lord does for us. He gives us that direction. He gives us that information and instruction. In Isaiah chapter 2, and Isaiah is the messianic prophet because so many prophecies concerning the Messiah are found in the book of Isaiah. And in the second chapter, very early then in the writings that we have of Isaiah, he's giving a prophecy. Things associated with what the Messiah was going to do, the nature of his kingdom are observable there. And it's describing this and how this is going to take place. In verse 3, many people shall go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in paths. It's got paths. He's the one. He's the guide. He's the one that's created the path. He knows the way. We think about Jesus and how he's referred to in John 14 and verse 6. He's life, and nobody comes to the Father except through him. He's the way. See this idea? There's things here and where I'm going to be headed. I can't do it for myself. Other individuals may give me some help, but the ultimate one that I'm going to look to in order to direct me in life is the one that guides me, the one that I'm walking with, the one who knows. I don't know. He knows. He's given me this information. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Jesus Christ, as we live as Christians, to those individuals who are going to follow and serve the Lord is to understand this basic principle. Because he's more than just the person standing beside me talking to me. He's the one that is directing me. Something else about this. He's our protector. You know, you go along in a situation, hostile type of environment potentially, and the circumstances around you, who do you want to have with you in those kinds of, well, you want to have somebody that can take care of not only themselves, but help protect you. They're an individual that has a great deal of knowledge out there and what's around. And so you're going to go, if you think about these ones that have gone to various places like Africa and they're on a safari, and they're going out there, and who, the guide is going to guide, and he's also got the person he's knowledgeable about, things around about, big gun. And you want to be close to him. Some of these animals appear on the scene, are very dangerous, right? So the protector. Well, here we have this understanding of walk with him, and I want to be real, real, real close to him. Because as we're walking along, things aren't going to always be that casual stroll in that wonderful environment and peaceful setting. Psalm 23. This is a psalm to us. And it's one that we sang a hymn, reading of the psalm. But let's look at it just for a moment and sort of then get a fuller sense, perhaps, and appreciation of to walk with God. And we think about the Lord is my shepherd. And, of course, the idea of shepherding, taking care of and tending the sheep, and directing them and protecting them. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me, restores my soul, and leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So here's the paths. He's guiding. He's directing. There's that tranquil setting once again to kind of talk about. Certainly appropriate. It's an aspect of our lives. But it's not the totality of what we confront. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for Thou art with me. It continues on. Then your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This verse is often at times of funerals. And it's appropriate. It certainly conveys an accurate. But it's not just during the times of death that this is being referred to. When it talks about walking through the valley of the shadow, it's not talking about the end time per se, the person's end of his life. It's talking about one's life. Because you see, what's described there with in the valley of the shadow of death has to do with these conditions, situations where these treacherous conditions are before us. Well, we're going through an area where the shadows and are cast out there, and the rocks and the terrain is rough and difficult, and where all kinds of could be lurking. It's describing, I'm going through this thing, and now what am I going to do? Making sure I'm on the right, going down the right way, and what's going to transpire around me? Are there robbers, thieves and murderers that are out? That's where they would want to hide. That's where they would want to be present. So an unsuspecting traveler, they can pounce upon them. There are wild, vicious animals that can attack, maim, and kill. There may be, let's go, the shadows you can't really see very well. But now, walk with God. When we walk through those difficulties and trials and hardship of life, when there's these dangers that are all around us, the Lord, He knows the path. He protects us during those times. He guides us. He makes provision. He's there with us. Isn't that a comforting thought? Death and what He can do for us because of who He is. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall, for You are with me. Don't you want to be with that one? Isn't that the individual you want? Those kinds of trials and tribulations and circumstances. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there's this idea, no temptation has overtaken us. That's not, but God has provided a way of escape. With every temptation, He's provided a way of escape. This is the idea, this is the application of this concept. Temptations that are lurking out there or being put before us, God's not indifferent to our situation. I'm walking with God, and He's going to make sure we realize we're not the only ones that have had to encounter these kinds of temptations. Others have done so and have overcome what the Lord has provided. And we can do likewise. We don't have to give in. Way of escape. You know, we're going along through here, and suddenly we've got this dangers, and here's the Lord, and the Lord's made, follow me, I'll take you around this. If we're willing to go with Him, if we're willing to be with Him, if we're willing to follow Him, from the danger. You know, Satan is described as this roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So you think about conditions and circumstances of life, and now if he's this roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, he's going to pounce upon us, places and the weaknesses, or conditions and situations in which we're vulnerable. Guess what? As powerful as Satan is, minimize that, there's one far more powerful. And we're walking with Him. To Him. We accept His guidance. And we're appreciative of His protection. Thessalonians, just to kind of develop that thought additionally, when looking at this nature of the protection we need, certainly is from that one that's the enemy. The one who is desiring to. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil. He'll establish us. He'll guard us from that evil one. He's going to protect us from him. He's given us the provisions. We can read in chapter 6 the provisions he makes for us when we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against kings and principalities of darkness. And so the charge against us. All these types of things are noted. We're not ignorant of the fact, and shouldn't be ignorant of his divine made available to us to understand. But when we're walking with the Lord and we're seeking him out, we're close to him. We want to be with him, following after him in this walk. We seek out the protection he provides us. Then we overcome, not because of who he is. And which of us haven't gone through struggles and challenges or going through struggles and challenges, situations of life? Is it not comforting to know that he's there with us? We want to be with him, and he's there to seek, to care for us, and to protect us. That's what it means to walk with God. Draw him near to us. He's our benefactor. Another aspect of this that is inherently involved in this walking with him. You get the picture, incidentally, that who really is benefiting from this idea of walking with God. It's not that it's a benefit. He cares about us, and that's why he's made these provisions. But who benefits? We're the ones who benefit. You know, God doesn't need us. We need God. And he's provided this situation so that we can be with him and we can walk with him, and he's given us these directions and he's given us this information, and even the tranquil settings, it's a wonderful thing to have that relationship. Things are difficult and the challenges exist and circumstances of life are hard. He's there if we are still seeking him out, wanting to be with him, because we know the value of being associated with him, that intimate relationship, the desire to be together, because that benefits us. In Deuteronomy, and you go to the passages here about various things that we see as most of the law to that new generation. He's giving them this information that had previously instructions that had been given, but 40 years and toward the close of Moses' life, and as the Israelites are about to enter into the land of Canaan, there's this instructions. He's reminding them of things and reinforcing what's been the teaching and instruction that's been given. 33, the last verse of that fifth chapter. You shall walk in all the ways of which the Lord your God has commanded you, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Now, this was given to the Israelites, and there was a particular purpose behind that. But the principle is still applicable. And that is this idea of God's provision fitting them and caring for them and wanting things to be for them that was needful. And certainly we have that same privilege today, all found in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. That's where these spiritual blessings are found. I need to be in Christ in order to receive blessings. And this idea to walk then, you walk all the ways which the Lord God has commanded you. Here's the commands, here's what the path is. Well, he's commanded. He commanded them as it related to the Mosaic law. He commands us today as it involves the law of Jesus' will that's enforced. His instructions are given. Over in Romans chapter 6, when it describes then things about being immersed, submerged in water, well, it goes on to be raised to walk in newness of life. That's the beginning. Now I've got that relationship. Now I'm going to walk in this newness of life. And that means walking with the Lord. His will and instruction. Continue to grow spiritually to have fuller knowledge of his teaching and instruction in my life. How to make the application of these benefits associated. My sins have been forgiven. And now as I walk, all of these other spiritual blessings are mine. And then we have as the hymn sang, that we sang as well, over there in 1 John, the first, as verse 7 specifically, as we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses sin. When I walk with the Lord, I reap all the blessings he's provided. Saying that they're not hardships or difficulties. We've already talked about that. They're in hardships and difficulties. The Lord's still there with us. We need to have our view focused on the right objective, and that is that heavenly home. And that's the pathway. He's going to give us that instruction that leads us to that heavenly home. And whatever happens in this life is secondary well-being. And here, well done, thy good and faithful servant. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, what a wonderful thing to think about. Light, this light and that lamp to our feet, the light to our path, the illuminating that directs us. Here's this idea presented in this description about this walk. It is a lifelong journey. We're moving It's something that we're doing. It's our life as we go about. Where are we headed to? If we walk in the light, it sees in the light, we're going to have fellowship one with another, like mind and precious faith, those that are also walking the light. We have others, brothers and sisters in Christ, others that we associate with, that's the most beautiful and wonderful kind of relationships, because we have the most precious realization of what this is all about. Home and spiritual blessings that are associated with this, and our helping one another, encouraging one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. He makes the provisions. Our sins are remitted at the time we're baptized, immersed in life. And as we go through life, when we stumble or fall, we get up because He made provisions for us to get up. If we fall, Lord, He won't stop. And He says that we need to repent and correct those things, walk with Him, continue to go with Him, make those changes in our life on that journey. The journey's headed to heaven. And if we deviate from that, we take a different... The consequences of that is we're lost. I can't get lost if I'm walking with God. It'll allow me to go off in the wrong direction if I'm seeking Him out and walking with Him. If we walk in the light as He's in the light. It's from all sins. So the question is, is that what we're doing? Do we appreciate the value of being able to walk with God? Who else would we want to be with more than the Lord Himself? All of the benefits associated with that, the help that's connected to that, help that exceeds anything that we can begin to think about from an earthly perspective, all the care and regard that others have that we're so thankful for, pale in comparison to the Lord. We're walking with the Lord. The Lord guides us. The Lord then protects us, and the Lord is our benefit. If you're not walking with the Lord, you need to do what's necessary in order to, because there is no hope. We are truly lost. And make your own way doesn't... About to sing a song of encouragement. And we desire for all of us to think about our spiritual condition constantly and continually. And we need to reflect upon that on a regular basis, examining ourselves. But at this point in time, as we reflect, am I serving the Lord? Am I doing His will? Am I walking with the Lord? By doing and abiding in His life and humbly, faithfully serving Him, being of the disposition of Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and all the faith that have preceded us and walked with the Lord, we need to reflect, have I yet done that which puts me in so I can be raised to walk in that newness of life by being baptized and immersed? If you haven't, upon belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, willingness to repent of your best name before men, we'll gladly immerse you in water so that you can have your sins remitted and forgiven. If you've done that, there's something amiss. Then you stumbled and you fall on the path. Well, the Lord's ready to lift us up. Get up and accept that help. And if you have sin in your life, you need to cease the wrong. You come to the Lord, confessing, acknowledging that, and repenting of that. And the Lord will forgive us because He desires that to be the case. Once again, if you need the prayers of the congregation in order to help you on your path and on your journey, we stand with your subject to the large call. Won't you please come as together we stand and sing.